This morning, we're going to take a look at, an in-depth look at the text and tune of the hymn you have before you, Rise Again, Ye Lion-Hearted. And like many of the hymns we sing, it's not particularly well known, but this one is certainly worth learning. We try to sing it at least once a year, usually this week. So I'm going to play through it once first. Try that last phrase, in the Lord and Prince of Hell. Okay? Sit up straight. Here we go. And two, ready, sing. That's pretty good. Do it one more. And up. Now, let's go back to Lo, Love's Light is on Them. It's at the bottom of the first page. Just listen once again. Listen, and we come to Ian, the Lord and Prince of Hell. Start to sing there, but just listen now. Follow along, you know. Now! Let's start singing on Lo, Love's Light. One, two, three. Kind of game. I'm going to start on the second line on Whither. Whither is your strength departed? I'll start playing there, and then you start singing with me when we get to Lo, Love's Light. Okay? I will start with the first line, and you come in on Whither. Stanza one, and while we'll sing the whole stanza this time, let's stand up, please. And let's rise again. Here we go.
Rise again,
right, you may be seated. Take a look now at the information about the hymn at the top of the page, where the text came from and where the tune came from and things like that. The text you see, it appears first of all in 1712. We're not sure who wrote it. We're not sure if that's the first time it was written. But it was originally a text of 13 stanzas. In this particular case, it showed up in a translation in the year 1940. A man by the name of Martin Franzmann, who is one of the really good hymn writers of the 20th century. You might know the hymn, "Thy Strong Word Did Cleave the Darkness." He wrote that text and quite a few others that we sing fairly regularly. But this was a translation of a German text, and it was actually in the Lutheran hymnal, which was a hymnal that was used, well, it showed up in the early 40s, and some congregations are still singing from that book. It was in there, but the tune was not terribly exciting. It worked, but it wasn't. So anyway, and this happened, it was in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod when they were working on a new hymnal back in the 1970s. This was a text, because it had been in the old book, that was being considered for the new book, and they thought the tune was not strong enough. And so a fellow by the name of Alfred Fremder was encouraged to compose a melody for that poem. Now, Alfred Fremder is part of the Bethany story. He was professor and choir director here from 1945 to 1956, which was, he was a longtime professor at that point. He came here, is fresh, wet behind the ears, fabulous piano player, good music theoretician, and also then a composer. He stayed till 1956. The one thing that we hear from him frequently is when the choir sings that eight and a half part arrangement of "On My Heart, Imprint Thine Image." He made that arrangement while he was here teaching at Bethany. The reason the name of the tune is Stratford is because he and his wife were living on a street in St. Louis at that time that was called Stratford Avenue. So that's where the tune came from. Those tune names are always interesting, because sometimes they have a geographical idea behind them. Sometimes they have the name of a daughter or a son. It's very interesting how tune names appear. So that's what happened with that one. And he felt at the time, I mean, I knew him, we talked about this, and he said, you know, it's been for the church, especially the church that had gone through the 1940s and 1950s, it was such a rich time. The churches were large, all denominations, the churches were large. And if you were a mission pastor in a new suburb, all you'd have to do is put a sign up and say, "Church meeting here on Sunday," and 50 people would show up automatically. So it was in that spirit of the time, it was very, the church was living well. And he said, you know, this is an important text, because the day may come when it's not going to be that way anymore. And he said, so we need to keep always in our ideas, first of all, the memory of those who have died because of the faith, and the fact that the day may come when we may face persecution. Certainly, I would say probably since the beginning of Christianity, there's always been some place in the world where the church is that it has been persecuted. We know that's the case today. We hear about congregations in Africa where there's not just persecution, but martyrdom. People getting their heads cut off because they're Christians. Oh, and all we have to do is wear masks. So that's a small price to pay. So he created this melody, which he thought was fairly angular and caught the spirit of the text. And the text, of course, makes emphasis to that, to the lion-hearted ones. And there, a number of years ago, somebody wrote a book for children. It had to do with a witch in a wardrobe and what else? A lion, right? Yeah, you probably had the book read to you, or maybe you've read it, or maybe you saw the movie. But those images of what the lion goes through. And of course, the lion in the book is who? Christ. And this reaffirms what's taught in Scripture, It's a thread that goes from Genesis to Revelation, this idea of the lion. And it's in Revelation 5 where John has been taken up into the courts of heaven, and it's one of just hundreds of tremendously dramatic scenes. And the one who is seated on the throne is handed a scroll. The scroll is sealed with seven seals. This is the Revelation 5 story. When no one is found worthy to open the scroll, John's response is to weep. How can nobody? Well, we're never going to find out what's in the scroll. And then one of the elders there around the throne says to John, "Stop weeping. Behold, the lion that is from the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has overcome so as to open the book and its seven seals." And that's a direct reference then to Christ, who was part of the family of Judah, the family of David. And so what's happening here is that those who are followers of the lion have to face the battle sometimes with him. And that's what makes it an interesting text and a tune that seems to go so very, very, very well with those words. Now, we're going to sing it, but one warning I have to give you, let's see. Okay, in the second stanza on the second page, there's the word tumultuous. Tumultuous battle. Just be sure that you elide those syllables there. And then there's a really tricky one is in the third stanza. I'm on the second page here. The second page, the third stanza, the last phrase, on the arena's bloody sand, which is easy enough to say, but the way it happens with the music and the poetic meter, it has to go like this. On the arena's bloody sand. So that's a little bit of a something you'll have to negotiate. So just be prepared for those things. And let's stand up and sing the whole hymn.
Thank you.
we also remember our Lord's words in the book of Revelation, "Be faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life." God grant us the grace so to live. Amen.